Page number 498. Stand up. You guys know the drill. Should we?
Is Jaden normally ornery?
Yes.
Normally
ornery?
Yes.
That's what I call ornery.
As in,
that's what I call
bad.
As in, sassy.
That's what you call Aubrey?
Yeah, because it sounds like Aubrey.
We have a guest in the house today. This is Will, if you guys don't know
him. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Will.
Will Sanders.
No, no, your voice is amazing.
What about
Wait,
which one are we singing?
498 when we all get to heaven. Everybody's got it. Where did that go?
Wait,
did she mention? Yeah. All right, ready? Here we go. Sing loud and proud. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Do we need to bring that down? I feel like I started that really high.
I don't know. Do you guys want it?
Okay.
All right. Ready?
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds be overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us remain true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Good job. Suggestions. We're just doing suggestions tonight.
Do you have one based on yet?
Yeah.
What about you, Danette? Do you have any? Which one? Remember what it's called? Meredith? Thoughts?
Saved
by the Blood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, I was asking.
That's a good one.
I think
it's 210.
Do you want that?
Are you just showing your ass?
You know me well enough.
Jeez.
Hey,
I have
437.
Okay, I saw
your
intro.
Oh, this is a good one.
I was actually thinking.
Alright, 210. Saved by the Blood.
Alright, here we go.
Don't go yet.
Wait for everyone else.
Wait, don't.
I hope you played for it.
Thank you. Alright, Saved by the Blood. Here we go.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new word begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are crucified ones. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price of our pardon, his own precious Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Let's do a Surely Goodness and Mercy. We've done that quite a few times, but we'll do it again. This one of 292. All right, surely goodness and mercy. Here we go. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. Safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness
16 shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
All right. Awesome, awesome. A couple more.
Seven battle cry.
All right. Let's see.
On the battle cry.
You have the page memorized, Addy?
I just saw it.
You just saw it. It's 4:13.
Okay,
too
bad Aubrey's not good. This is her favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah. I have
2. 4:13.
Addy,
where's
she?
Oh.
We'll
look to the party.
It's all
right.
She might be going later.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Hello.
I don't think so.
Hello.
All right, sound battle cry. Here we go.
Sound the battle cry. See the foes now. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse them, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go. While our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light. Battling for the right, we never can fail. Rouse them, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throne.
Let's do one more. One more.
What's your thought?
You know that one?
Yes.
One more. What is it?
What do you
want? Okay.
It's
probably
yeah.
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 What are we doing? Olivia recommended Satisfy.
And I too recommended Satisfy. I don't either.
Too
smart. For sure.
I
haven't.
All right, 446.
446. 446.
Are you looking happy to talk to me?
Olivia recommended.
Yes, you do.
So
they
sing with me. We're good.
41?
We're good singing to him.
446.
46.
Let's
kill.
Oh,
sorry. I know, it's like, what's the title? You see the words, like, I know the song.
Usually,
like,
446.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
That's all right. Here we go.
All my life long I have panted for a drop from some clear spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah. My soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free. Untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.
Good singing. All right, everyone have a seat. Mm-hmm. Sarah, do you have any announcements?
Thank you.
I don't think we have anything new for announcements. We just, Bravo Team is coming up April 22nd, so in 2 weekends, right? Yes. So that's going to be the same place in the same format as last time with Charlie Team. So we'll probably start around 11. Say bye, Sanders. Thanks for joining
us. Bye.
Have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Come on.
See you.
That sounded good. Good singing tonight.
Awesome.
Good singing.
Oh, my goodness. Squeeze my baby out of me.
So Bravo Team April 22nd. Same place, same format. We'll be there all day. Lots of games, devotion, singing. Yeah, out at Hilltop. So please communicate to us as soon as you can whether you'll be there or not and if you're bringing a friend or not, because Saturday, April 22nd. Because I have to submit a roster of who will all be there to the place, and I have to submit that a couple days ahead of time. So unfortunately, like I don't want to be mean, but I have to at some point say, like, if you text me the night before and say, hey, I really want to bring all my friends, like, we won't be able to accommodate for that. So, just know ahead of time that, like, start asking your friends, start, you know, getting that word out there, because if they want to come, start communicating that to me. You just need to send me a text individually, say, hey, I'll be there, and I'm bringing my friend, blah, 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 or, hey, I'll be there. Also, if you need a ride, as always, please communicate that ahead of time. Caleb and I are happy to drive you guys out there and take you back. And then there's something else I was going to say. I don't remember. I know a couple of you guys came up to me and said, oh, I don't have our team verse memorized. But when I asked you guys where it was in the Bible, you guys all had that. So it's a good thing to start knowing that. Next time, though, I want everybody to have it memorized. Okay? Yeah? Just because. How are we going to be able to recall it and apply it if we don't have it hit in our heart and memorized, okay? Who can raise their hand and tell me where it is at? Jaden.
1 Timothy 4:12-13.
1 Timothy 4:12-13. So if you don't have that, write it down. Yeah? I know you got it memorized, girl. You're good.
Can I say it?
Sure, go ahead.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be that an example of a believer in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and purity, till I come, let give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:12-13.
Good job! All right, we Yeah, Jaden, do you have it memorized? Can we hear it?
Let no man despise
thy
youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come and give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
Where is it?
1 Timothy 4:12-13.
Woohoo! Anybody else want to give it a shot? Logan, do you have it?
I didn't know it was verse 13 too.
Sorry?
I thought it was just verse 12.
Hmm?
So
I'm choosing. Halfway achiever.
Not memory verses. So.
Yeah.
That's true.
Awesome. I feel like there's something else that might hit me later, but I'll just announce it afterwards. So.
Birthdays.
Oh, wow. That was February 20th.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. March 5th. Logan's
birthday. And he's running away.
When?
On Wednesday.
April 12th. Next one.
And then Will and Courtney, who are just here, their little boy Camden, has a birthday on Thursday, I think.
Oh, really? He does?
And then it's also Kaylin's birthday on Sunday.
Yes.
And his birthday on Wednesday. So
wait, what?
Wish them a happy
birthday.
Oh, yeah,
Lynn and
Hannah's. Kaylin's is on Sunday, Hannah's is on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, but her birthday party,
so. Yeah, her birthday. Hey, and Red's birthday. Welcome back.
Wait,
happy birthday.
We'll cover that later.
We have cake.
Cake
for birthday, so
celebrate
the birthdays. Okay, so alright, everyone listen up. I don't think I have any more announcements. Like Sarah said, we have Team Delta. Dinette?
Yes.
Can you pay attention? Okay. Alright, so like Sarah said, we have Bravo Team coming up in 2 weeks, and we'll again be at the Hilltop House, so looking forward to that. yes, ma'am.
I wasn't there last time, so you guys should tell me how it went.
It was
okay.
Very nice.
Yeah. What did
you guys
think?
What's some of the things that we did? Who can film Meredith
in?
Games.
Lots of games.
We lined up from...
Everyone got to try valentines with lots of food, and everyone, a bunch of people played devotion.
Yes.
Does anybody remember what one of the devotions was about?
I don't know.
Does that make... Mackenzie gave a devotion on worry, because she's a really good warrior, so...
On, like, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
it was really good.
She said her was an honor and honor, so she, like, she had a verse in the Bible that says that you should use some money. Yeah. I think so.
That's right. That's good. Good memory, girl. Very good. That was a really good one. I liked Kenzie's. Olivia, what did you remember? No looking at your notes. She's cheating. Christopher did one on anger, which was really good. It was kind of, it was almost like a little testimony too at the same time.
One of them was putting the blame on someone else and not just admitting that you did it.
There was another one.
And then it was, I remember.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny. He didn't really, it was more, he just had like.
He kind of gave his testimony.
Yeah, just kind of like, and it helped him a lot.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if anybody wants to give a devotion for, it doesn't have to be for next time in 2 weeks, it can be for the next team that comes, or even we can, somebody can give a devotion at Team Delta meeting. If you guys are just wanting to share something, whatever, just let us know. We'd be happy for you guys to do a devotion. Yes, Lydia.
Can you
really
get four sign-up sheets for people to do them?
Do what?
You should make like sign-up sheets in case anyone wants to.
Okay, you can just tell us.
Sign up with us. Sign up
yeah.
by verbally coming
yep.
over and then put your name down.
Okay. So let's get started. I'm going to start us off in a word of prayer before we get into the lesson today. All right, so let's bow our heads. Lord, just thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for just freeing up their nights so they could come and hang out and just get a little bit of spiritual food to consume and to take home. And I pray that we can all have open hearts. I pray that you use our singing and the song service to open these hearts and to get ready to receive the Word of God and do something with it. I just pray for anyone here, just, you know, kind of where they're at with you. You'll just give them what they need, that you can deal with them accordingly. And so I just, again, thank you for this time to meet. Pray for those who are not with us, and pray that you'll give them safety and wherever they're at. So I just thank you for everyone here. Thank you for their commitment to this, and just pray that you'll bless that. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Okay. So if you guys remember, as you guys know, I guess in general, we've been kind of going over some of the different rules to study the Bible from our pastor Bob, one of his books. Just some kind of general principles, practices that are good to follow when you keep, just to keep in mind, kind of in the back of your head or in the front of your head when you're reading the Bible. So last time Sarah talked about Romans 1, 19 and 20, about, you know, in some other places, but that was kind of the main place, how the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that God made. So basically she talked about how the creation, how God's creation, everything he made, the stars, the sun, everything on earth, how it's all a picture of, I guess, a teaching in the Bible, something that, you know, might be hard, you know, if we didn't have a Bible, might be hard to understand otherwise without it explaining. And that's what this the creation that God made does, is in a way it explains that to us. And then we've kind of been talking about our Team Delta verses, plural, two verses, that we introduced that last time, Sarah did, kind of states our goal as us, as a group of people in Lincoln, our charge, kind of our mission for you guys. And I'll just say it again, 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13. Let no man despise thy... Thanks, Jaden. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and practice. Till I come, give attendance in purity. Sorry. Yeah. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Okay? Sorry if it wasn't perfect, siblings. Okay, so that's our team verse. Okay, so like we said, kind of the goal for this verse is to just keep it in mind as we approach camp. You know, as we're starting to get to the end of the school year, end of summer, camp's at the end of summer. So we just want to keep this in mind as we approach camp, kind of our goals as a team here. So kind of with all these rules that we're going through, some of these lessons we're going through with you guys, we just want to teach you guys some Bible doctrine to remember. Some things that when you're reading your Bible that you can remember, you can kind of have an idea of what you're reading. And so then the ultimate goal for this, as you guys, is like the verse says, to be an example of the believers, to be an example of Christians to the rest of the world. It says in word and in conversation. That's in the words that we say. The words that come out of our mouth, those should represent what a Christian believes, how a Christian is supposed to talk. It says in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those are our actions, our attitude towards the people around us. So that's, again, that's kind of the goal for all this, is to charge. It's a charge for you guys to just think about those things throughout your day. How, you know, try to be aware of those things and represent why we as Christians are different from the rest of the world, and just display that off to, you know, our parents, you know, or, you know, even if they are Christians, you know, it's still just good to show your parents that, you know, you're learning, you're growing in the Word of God. You know, you can display these things to your parents, to people at school, to friends around you, anyone. It's just, that's the whole goal for this, is for us to be an example of the believers with these things. And so with that, we're going to go over the next rule. Actually, it's going to be two rules, but I'll just start off with the first one. So we're going to go over a rule that, to be honest, we're actually, most of you guys are probably familiar with, as far as, you know, we've mentioned it before, we've gone over this verse specifically before, So the verse is out of 2 Peter 1, verse 20. So if you guys want to turn there. So 2 Peter 1:20. I went over this verse in our KJV talk. It was one of the passages I went through. I think I probably also mentioned this verse when talking about context and rightly dividing the word of truth. It's something we're familiar with, but it's just we haven't gone through this rule specifically itself. So this is what we're going to do tonight. And so the rule, this is rule number 9. If you've been counting, we've been through 8 of them. And rule number 9 now is that you guys will probably understand it just by me saying it, but it says the Bible is of no private interpretation. All interpretations must be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture. So that's the rule. Rule number 9 again is the Bible is of no private interpretation. All interpretations must be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Okay? So as you guys know, we're familiar with this verse in 2 Peter 1:20, which if you're there, it says this: knowing that this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? So, like I said, we've been through this before.
Okay.
So it's the Bible is of no private interpretation. Okay, that's what it states in the verse. And then it says all interpretations must be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture.
Thank you.
Okay.
You ruined it.
Did you get it down, Addie?
Yeah, I started laughing like rewinding.
Okay. All right. So again. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is a very important thing. And so, let's say theoretically, I want to go to North Korea, but I wouldn't go there because they're kind of crazy up there. So let's say I go to South Korea. I'll go to South Korea. And let's say, I don't speak Korean though. I don't know any other languages other than English. All I speak is English. So I go to South Korea, and they speak Korean there. So what do I need to be able to understand what they're saying? I need what they call an interpreter, okay? I don't understand what they're saying in Korean, so I need an interpreter that can interpret their words for me and interpret my words for them. They're kind of the middleman that interprets between me and the South Koreans, okay? So they're what makes it clear for me. So the Bible, it says this, the Scripture is that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So it's saying that, you know, I can't privately interpret the Bible to what I want to believe. There has to be in fact, an interpreter of the Bible for us. And let's see who this interpreter is. So if you guys want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. So we're going to kind of look into who this interpreter is that interprets the Bible, gives us meaning of what it is. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. You get down, Addie?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Addie's rock star.
Yeah.
Meredith is struggling.
Yes. I am so mad.
Oh,
it
was
too
cold.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's first of all, I'm going to stop right there. What things are freely given to us of God? Anybody think of some things that are freely given to us? Huh?
Life?
Life, yes. Life is given to us freely. Jaden?
The church.
The church is given to us freely. Okay. How about Jaden?
The Bible.
Yes, the Bible is given to us freely. Jaden?
The
Holy Spirit. Salvation. Those are all good answers. That's all true. There's a lot of things that's been given to us freely, okay? So let's read verse 13 now. Okay, so they talking about these things that are freely given to us of God. All these things stated. Okay, verse 13. Which things we also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay, so it's saying that, you know, specifically, I would say, you know, the Bible freely given to us, and then it talks about how, in verse 13, it's what the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teacheth. So we use this, you know, as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is our interpreter. It teaches us what to do, and it tells you right there at the end, you know, it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, okay? Well, that's why this rule says you should compare scripture with scripture to get the interpretation, because this is a spiritual book, okay? So spiritual things with spiritual to get that interpretation. And so let's also look at John 16, verse 13. And this is one more good verse on how the Holy Spirit of God is our interpreter. John chapter 16, verse 13. Alright, verse 13 now says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay? So it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, Spirit is capitalized, that means it's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, this Holy Spirit of God, of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And if we know in John, just one chapter over, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth, okay? So it says the Spirit is going to guide us into all truth, the truth being God's word, okay? So the Holy Spirit of God guides us. It's the interpreter for us in this Bible, okay? This is a big book. You know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but there actually are many interpretations of it. There's just one that matters, okay? It's the Holy Spirit of God's interpretation of it, and he's going to guide you into that truth, okay? So, this is how we define it, is, as I said, we need an interpreter for the Bible, okay? All interpretations must be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture, okay? And the interpreter, the person interpreting, is the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's especially for us at our age, you know, including myself, including Sarah, you know, it's okay to rely right now on other people. You know, our pastor, we all rely on him to get fed the Bible. Our disciplers, you know, people working with, our parents. It's okay to, you know, to rely on them to get taught the Bible. You know, read books about the Bible, that's all okay right now, to read those things. That'll help us learn the Bible and grow spiritually. Those things are okay right now. You know, that's the way that God designed it. You know, right now, he made it so that the Holy Spirit will use those people in order to teach us. You know, it's just like the structure of the family. You know, God gave you two parents that, you know, to bring you along when you're still a baby, when you're still a young child, even up till you're, you know, 18, 20 years old. You have two parents that help you along with life until, you know, you can get out on your own and fend for yourself. That's just what it's like with the Bible. You know, spiritually, at some point, we should get to the point where, you know, we don't rely on our pastor or on our disciples or on people in our life to help us grow. I mean, we can still ask them questions, build relationships with them, and, you know, talk about the Bible. You know, definitely still do that. With, you know, you still go to church, you still listen to your pastor, what he says. But as far as who you're relying on to grow, to spiritually grow in the Bible, it should be your own relationship with God. It shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't have to rely on somebody else. It's just got to be us and God, just the Holy Spirit working through us and teaching us, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the interpreter. So my point is, you know, starting out, it's okay to, you know, the Holy Spirit will work through other people
to teach you the Bible, but at some point, you got to be self-sustaining and be able to, you know, be connected with the Holy Spirit to the point where you can keep growing yourself, as it is, because it is the interpreter. You know, and I guess I realize, too, that it's hard, I understand, to know that whether or not the Holy Spirit of God is actually working in you. You know, it's called a ghost for a reason. You know, it's there, but you may not know it. And so, again, that's what these rules are kind of for that we've gone through. You know, I feel like I kind of bring this up every time, how important these are. But these rules, these guidelines, because they're so important, because they show us the pattern, kind of the consistency of how God works. We're trying to show you guys that these patterns that God works by, and that the Holy Spirit of God, you know, helps us understand where the Holy Spirit of God is at. Okay, when you follow these, you understand how God and how the Holy Spirit of God works. So you can examine, you know, if what I'm studying in the Bible, if it lines up to these principles and it lines up to what the Holy Spirit of God would teach. And here's the problem. The Holy Spirit of God, it will teach you. Okay? The problem is, if you go off on your own, if you start, you know, if you kind of go off on your own place, teaching yourself, not letting the Holy Spirit of God define you, the problem is, God won't stop you. The Holy Spirit won't stop you from doing that if you begin to go off. We're going to look at that in a little bit. That's more to do with our next rule. But again, these rules give us a standard to measure up if what you're believing truly lines up to, you know, if it's of God or not, okay? So, basically, any interpretation by the Holy Spirit of God is going to be done by comparing Scripture with Scripture, okay? Every verse in the Bible, it's somehow connected to another verse or another passage in the Bible, and you just have to know where those other verses are, where they connect, and it explains it. The Bible interprets itself under the guiding of the Holy Spirit of God, okay? It's a self-interpreting book. All you need is a Bible. You compare one verse with another, that'll help it explain it, okay? And we're going to go over this rule in the future. It's one of the rules remaining, but it's called the law of first mention. The law of first mention basically says that for a lot of things in the Bible, for a lot of words or phrases, the law of first mention just says that the first time you find it in the Bible is going to be a significant thing about that, you know, that word or that idea. It's going to kind of define something about it. So that's what I'm getting at, is that the Bible is a self-defining book. Okay, it's like its own dictionary. You know, you can use other resources, you know, try to, you know, help you find your way along, but everything you need in here to learn the Bible is inside of here. It's self-defining. So now I'm going to look at, we kind of established that, who the interpreter is. You know, we compare spiritual things with spiritual, Scripture with Scripture. Let's look at one example of how the Bible interprets itself, okay? So you guys all know one of the Ten Commandments. Back in Exodus 20, verse 13, one of the Ten Commandments, God says, "Thou shalt not kill," okay? We all know that. And right there, "thou shalt not kill," there's a contradiction right there in the Bible. There's a contradiction. Because in Joshua, when Israel goes into the Promised Land, you know, they take a city over, God specifically tells them to kill the people in that city. Okay, they say to wipe them out. You know, these were wicked cities that the devil had set up that were designed to try to prevent Israel from getting into this land. Okay, God knew that these wicked people, you know, they were Gentiles. We've talked about this rule. There's the Jews, the Gentiles, and Christians. Okay, well, in the Old Testament, there were no Christians. It was just Jews and Gentiles. So the Jews, and then on the other hand, you have Gentiles. And so these people were Gentiles. God knew that if these Gentiles were kept alive, you know, if he just took the city over but left these Gentiles alive, they would mess Israel up. They would mess them up spiritually. So God said, just wipe them out. We need a clean start in the Promised Land, and we'll go from there. So right there, you know, God says to kill the people in that city. Well, I thought God says, thou shalt not kill. There's a movie out not too long ago. I never saw it, but anybody see the movie called Hacksaw Ridge? Hacksaw Ridge. Jaden, you saw it?
No.
Okay. Did you see it?
My mom saw it.
Your mom saw it, okay.
Oh, so did mom.
Anybody remember what it was about? Huh?
I know.
It sounds terrifying.
It sounds bad, but it's actually interesting. What?
Mom told us. They said it was, like, about this, like, we watched the trailer. I remember. I don't, like...
You know?
It was, like, about the, the guy, or, like, the guy who came in to be a medic.
Yeah.
Seventh
day. Yeah, right. Seventh
day. Oh, you said, okay, I didn't know that part of it. Yeah, so, his name, this guy's name, Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah, it sounds gruesome, but it says it's about a guy named Desmond Doss. Okay, Desmond Doss, he was a war hero. He was a, like Logan said, he was a medic in World War II, okay? And he, you know, read in his Bible that, oh, thou shalt not kill. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, you hear that. Thou shalt not kill. So he goes into the army as a medic because he doesn't want to kill anyone. He... You know, he wants to help his country without having to break that commandment. So he goes into the war as a medic. And, you know, just in general, there's this kind of idea of, you know, oh, if you're a Bible-believing person, you know, then you can't go into battle. You can't fight in a war because, you know, you're not allowed to kill anybody. That's what the Bible says, right? So what Desmond Doss or anybody else who, you know, who claims that, what they don't get is how the Bible defines or how it interprets, thou shalt not kill, okay? We're going to look at it. In the Bible, you have two things. There's a difference. There's what you call a murderer, okay? And then the Bible also has a term called a manslayer, okay? Those are two different things. It defines them differently. A manslayer is somebody who fights in wars, okay? He kills enemies in battles. When you read the law, like in Exodus and Leviticus in the Old Testament, you'll find that a manslayer, God deals with him differently than he would deal with a murderer, okay? A murderer is somebody who would kill somebody just, you know, not in the context of battle, okay? The Bible defines a manslayer different than it defines a murderer. Both of them have killed somebody, but in a different context. If you guys remember back at camp, we went over Joe and Zach and Danny preached on 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23 is David's mighty men of valor. And right there we talked about these stories at camp of how these were valiant men who, you know, this guy named Adino the Ezinite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Okay? It says right there, he killed 800 people. That's an example of a manslayer. Okay? So, again, these people, you know, if you don't understand the interpretation of the Bible, what it's saying, then, you know, you might look at that and say, oh, that contradicts God saying, thou shalt not kill. So like I said, you have a manslayer and you have a murderer. They're different things. So we're going to look at how the Bible interprets itself. If you guys want to turn over to Matthew 19, verse 18. This one verse will kind of set it to rest. So Matthew 19:18, let's pick it up in verse 16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, verse 18, He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." Okay? So in this verse, or in this passage, a guy asks Jesus how to have eternal life. And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. Which at the time, that was true. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. So we're still kind of in an Old Testament sense. dealings with people. Okay, so he talks, you know, the guy says, which commandments? And Jesus says in verse 18, he says, thou shalt do no murder is the first thing he says. And if you look at that, that's different than God saying, thou shalt not kill. Okay? In verse 18, thou shalt do no murder. You see that? Jesus interprets thou shalt not kill as thou shalt do no murder. Okay? He interprets the commandment so it's consistent. So there's no contradiction, you know, where Israel in the Old Testament were killing people just in the right context. It wasn't murder. It was in the context of war. You know, and they knew that in the Old Testament because God would command them to. But you see how that verse right there interprets for us by comparing Scripture with Scripture. It interprets for us what the commandment is actually saying. Okay, what it actually means. So this is just one example. Thou shalt do no murder interprets thou shalt not kill. Okay? That's just one example. These are literally all throughout the Bible. Like I said, every verse has some sort of cross-reference with it, a passage or maybe just one verse or multiple verses, multiple passages. You just have to know where they are. You know, and with that, what I talked about, I think it was in January, how it's important to the individual words are the keys of the Bible. And so this is why it's so important to not change the words of the Bible, is because in order to find those cross-references, to find where passages connect, where verses connect, is by the words a lot of times, is by comparing some of the key words with each other. That's why it's so important to not change those individual words. Okay? There's one more I want to go over, but I think this might be a good little reading assignment if you guys want to. Unless you guys want me to do it now. You guys want to read it? Okay. I think this will be good. This is one of my favorite things. This is honestly one of the coolest things to me in the Bible. It's really simple, but it's very practical with, you know, dealing with people. At least I think, you know, it was just really cool because this is a big issue with some people. So if you go over to John chapter 6, verse 53. We're just going to look at it, and then I'll have you guys can kind of try to figure out the answer to this. So I want you all to turn to John 6, verse 53. And this will be our little reading assignment for you guys for next time, so... Okay, so in John 6:53, and if you guys even read, you might.
Can you grab the other one too for tonight?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so in John 6:53, if you guys kind of look before that, he really, you know, he starts talking about this thing. Verse 35. If you look back at verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life." And he even starts talking about this thing of the bread, this manna that falls from heaven. He kind of talks about this all throughout. And then in verse 53, where we're at, Jesus says this kind of confusing thing, that if we didn't have the rest of the chapter, we wouldn't understand it. Because we're going to see here in a minute, the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. So verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Verse 54, we'll read down to verse 57. Verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Okay? So he says this really weird. It's weird. It's confusing. You know, he tells you that you have to drink his blood and eat his flesh. Okay? You know, I mean, that's just kind of gross. It's weird. Cannibalism, essentially. He's saying you have to eat him in order to have eternal life, in order to live forever. this is a confusing thing for me if I'm reading this. Why in the world would, you know, why is this something that we have to do as a Christian, as a someone who believes the Bible? And if we keep reading, let's just keep reading in verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread, talking about his body, shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Okay, so stop there. And so as we can see, this thing, what he says, how you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, it offends the disciples. They say, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? You know, it talks about it back in Leviticus and Exodus and the law. If you ate somebody else, like cannibalism, that was a sin. That was something people were, I think, put to death for. I mean, it was never acceptable in the Old Testament. So these people listening to this, these disciples who are Jews, they're saying, this is a hard saying. You know, why are you telling us to do this? This is against the law. Why are we being told to, you know, eat your flesh, drink your blood? That's just, you know, flat out weird. You know, and Jesus says, doth this offend you? I mean, that kind of offends me. I don't quite understand it. So, and, you know, there's a doctrine of, in the Catholic Church called transubstantiation. That's a big word, but basically just means that they'll go to this verse, this passage, they'll say, we have to literally eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood in order to be saved. And so they'll say, you know, they do this process where they have like a wafer. Meredith can probably speak on this.
Yeah.
She knows. Okay. So they have, just correct me if I'm wrong anywhere. They have a wafer and basically they pray over it or do something and they say that this little piece of bread, this wafer, literally turns into the body of Christ. Okay. And then you go up and you eat it and stuff. Okay. And hey, they're just in saying this. They're right here. He says, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Right there. If you didn't know how to sell your Bible, if we didn't have these rules, you would think that that's an acceptable thing, what he's saying. Okay, and then they also have a cup of wine where they do the same thing. They pray over it and you drink it, okay? That's transubstantiation. They believe that this physical, you know, this just piece of bread is magically turned into the literal, the blood and body of Christ, okay, and you eat it. So this is a big deal. And the answer to this, what he's saying in here is actually, you know, we talk about comparing scripture with scripture. You know, for the example of thou shalt not kill, we had to go all the way to, you know, all the way across the Bible to figure out what he was saying. In this example, I think it's a good example to give you guys for homework because the answer to it, what he's saying, is right in this chapter. Okay, if you read the chapter, I would just say, you know, it's a long one, about 70 verses, but you could really just start in like verse maybe 26 or something, and he starts talking about this thing. But truly, it's right in there, and you'll, once you see it, to me, it's one of the coolest things you can see why what he's saying of eating his flesh and drinking his blood isn't exactly as it sounds. Okay, Jesus himself explains to you what he's saying, okay? So we'll go over that next time at the start. We'll kind of look at that and see what the answer is. So just encourage you guys to do that, go over that, and we'll go over the answer for that next time. So any questions on the assignment, on what we're trying to find out? Anybody? Danette? Do you understand what we're doing? Kind of? No? Okay. Yes, Olivia.
Wait, so we're trying to figure out the answer to what?
Okay. So you're trying to explain, I guess, why he says, what he means when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. You're trying to figure out what he actually means when he says that. Okay, because it's a little confusing when he's saying that. There's a verse in there that if you read it, and if you understand what it's saying, It makes perfect sense what he says, okay? One of the coolest things, in my opinion, once you see it. Okay. So if there's any questions on that, just ask me afterwards. But those are just two little examples of it. So basically, as we saw, the Holy Spirit of God is our interpreter, okay? The Holy Spirit has just one interpretation. But like I said, in fact, there are actually many interpretations of the Bible, if you guys didn't know. There are many interpretations of the Bible. Okay, and you know, I thought we said the Bible's of no private interpretation. You know, that's what this rule states, is that there's only one that matters. And yes, that's true. You know, the Bible is of no private interpretation. But that just means that there's one interpretation that matters, and it's God's interpretation. Okay, there's still other interpretations of the Bible out there. And that's why there are so many things that people believe about the Bible itself. You know, they didn't get taught by the Holy Spirit. They didn't get the right interpretation of the Bible. They privately interpret the Bible themselves. It's just their own interpretation. Okay, that's what we mean. And so, talking about these private interpretations is going to lead us right into our next rule right here. So rule number 10 now deals with kind of this private interpretation. So it says, rule number 10 is, always be prepared to change what you've been taught or what you have believed when it goes contrary to the Bible. Okay? I'll read that first sentence again. It says, always be prepared to change what you've been taught or what you have believed when it goes contrary to the Bible. Then it says, never make the Bible line up with what you believe. Okay, never make the Bible line up with what you believe, but always line yourself up, your beliefs up, to what the Bible says. Okay? I'll just read it one more time.
Okay, thanks.
Rule number 10 is always be prepared to change what you've been taught or what you have believed when it goes contrary to the Bible. Never make the Bible line up with what you believe. Always line yourself up to what the Bible says. Okay? So this rule basically is how, you know, if people begin to privately interpret the Bible, you know, they try to make it line up with what they believe, okay, rather than lining up, you know, rather than changing their beliefs so it lines up with the Bible says. That's what this rule is basically about. So when you do this, when you privately interpret the Bible and you try to make it line up to your own beliefs, okay, there's three things that happen, okay? Number one is you have to complicate the Bible. Okay, you complicate the Bible. Number two is you contradict the Bible. You contradict the Bible. And number three is you have to correct the Bible. You correct the Bible. And so we'll just go through these real fast. Number one is you complicate the Bible. So with God's interpretation, with the Holy Spirit's interpretation of comparing Scripture with Scripture, you know, he didn't make it super complicated. It looks complicated. It is, you know, it looks big. It is, you know, you just got to know where to put the pieces together, though. You know, it's not extremely complicated. It's not this huge, vast thing that we can't grasp. It's something that we are able to understand. You know, there are going to be things you have to study. There's no doubt about that. The Bible says, it tells you to study. You know, study to show thyself approved. A workman, okay? Not to be ashamed, okay? You're gonna have to work at it. There are going to be things in the Bible that you are going to have to study. But overall, you know, he made this Bible so that any beggar, any tax collector, any fisherman could understand, you know, the wisdom, the words of God. Those are the people that Jesus would hang out with, is the poor people, the people who are simple-minded, okay? Remember, it's not about your heart. Or it is about your heart attitude. It's not about how smart you are when it comes to learning the Bible. Okay, so when you privately interpret the Bible, you make it more complicated than it really is. And then the second thing is you contradict the Bible. Okay, God's interpretation of the Bible, One example, as we saw with thou shalt not kill, God's interpretation has no contradictions, okay? I like to think of it as a big puzzle, okay? Just envision your head a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you have all these pieces, you know, it looks super complicated, it looks super big, looks super confusing. But as you start to put the pieces together, you know, if you put it together right, at the very end, you know, there should be no holes in the puzzle. There shouldn't be any pieces missing, and there shouldn't be any pieces left over. It all fits together, all makes a clear picture, and all makes sense, okay? When you rightly interpret the Bible, when you get the interpretation of God's way, comparing Scripture with Scripture, then there's no missing pieces. There's no leftovers that, you know, you have to deal with or you have to throw away. Everything in the Bible fits together when you get the right interpretation, okay? And so if somebody privately interprets the Bible, okay, you contradict the Bible, you make pieces that are supposed to fit, they don't fit anymore. You know, these contradictions start coming up and things don't work out for you anymore. So what's the third thing that you do? Because you have pieces left over, because you have things that don't fit, people resort to correcting the Bible. Okay, this is the worst part of it, is because they have things that don't match, that don't line up, that don't fit. They have missing pieces. They have leftovers. They don't know what to do with those things, okay? So they have to resort to correcting the Bible, okay? They have to correct the Bible in order to kind of make it work for him in his belief system. You know, people will come from the attitude of, my beliefs are correct, and the Bible's wrong. That's how a lot of people think, is they approach the Bible that way of, I know what I believe. You know, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. That's how some people come to the Bible. And when you get to that point, you know, you contradict it, make it more complicated, make it more complicated than it is. You contradict the Bible with, you know, what it's actually meaning to say, and then you have to correct the Bible in order to make what you believe be right. You know, so this idea of, you know, somebody saying, my beliefs are correct, the Bible's wrong, that's not how it should be. The way we should approach the Bible is, okay, I don't care what I believe, or whatever I do believe must be wrong, okay? I need to make anything that I believe line up to what the Bible says, okay? That should be our prayer. That should be our attitude as we approach the Bible, is, God, help me to believe what you teach in this Bible, okay? To not try to make the Bible fit with my belief system, but for my beliefs to change according to what the Bible says. So, okay, so that's what this rule says, is you should be prepared to change, you know, whatever you believe if it doesn't line up to the Bible. You know, I'm not just talking about pulling a verse out of context and saying, oh, the Bible says this, so, you know, that's what I believe. I'm talking about, like, a clear doctrine, a clear teaching based on the context, based on these rules that we're going through in the Bible. You should change your beliefs to line up to what the Bible says, okay? You shouldn't have anything, you shouldn't have any belief or any doctrine that you absolutely have to hold on to. You know, if you see that teaching doesn't line up to what the Bible says, you should just drop it, okay? You should drop that thing. If it's not taught in the Bible, if it's not something clear in the Bible, just drop it, okay? If it doesn't line up to what the Bible says, so just drop it. That should be our approach. And this is a really, really important thing, because if you don't approach the Bible from that way of, you know, I don't care what the Bible says or teaches, God, just help me to believe what it says. If that's our approach, you know, that God will teach us. He will honor that. But here's the thing, is if you approach the Bible with the other mindset of, you know, this is what I believe, I don't care what the Bible says, when you come to it that way, you're gone. That's a terrible place to be, because let's see what happens. Okay, we're going to actually look at an example in the Bible of what happens, or not an example, it teaches us what happens when somebody comes to the Bible with a preconceived idea. So if you guys want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 14, okay, this is really, really important. And it's really almost scary, is the fact that if, you know, you start having this attitude, this is what God will do to you. And, you know, there's almost no way for you to catch yourself unless you have these rules to line yourself up, or if you're coming with this attitude. You have to come with this attitude. So in Ezekiel chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Okay, everyone there? Ryan, are you there?
I forgot what the...
It's Ezekiel chapter 14. I want everyone to see this, because this is really important to actually see it and read it for yourself. Okay, Ezekiel 14. Let's read verse 1 through 5. Okay, ready? Verse 1 says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me." Okay, so right there says, certain of the elders of Israel. And, I mean, personally, in my life, like, when I think of, like, an elder person, like an older, you know, I think of, you know, my grandparents or people older, you know, just in general, they're wise people. They're wise people who, you know, we can learn something about life from, you know. So when you first read that, you say, okay, these are probably some wise people who have some good things to teach. But let's see what God says about them. In verse 2, he says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," verse 3, "Son of man, these men," the elders, "these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" Okay? So he tells you that these elder people, these elders of Israel, it says that they put a stumbling block in their heart. They've put idols in their heart. Okay, that basically means they've had their ways set. They have their own ideas about, you know, what the Bible means or about what God is. You know, they have their own ideas of how they're going to approach God. And so God says, should I be inquired of at all by them? He says, should I even bother dealing with these people? Okay, that's what he says. Verse 4 says, "Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet," he says, "I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols." So in this verse, this passage is talking about Israel, how, you know, Israel is coming with a wicked heart, and God's going to deal with them according to that wicked heart, okay? But this is also true with anybody, okay? With you and me as we come to the Bible. If we come to the Bible with these idols in our heart, with these, I guess, preconceived ideas, or with these things that we have to believe about the Bible, he's going to deal with you according to that. He says, "I, the Lord," in verse 4, "I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." Okay, God is going to give you exactly your heart's attitude. This is scary. He's going to give you a lie to believe if you want to believe one, okay? If you're somebody who just wants to believe in evolution, who, you know, doesn't believe in God, God's going to give him the answers. He's going to give him the proof to show him that, you know, whatever he believes is correct. God's not going to go out there and try to stop him. Okay, he's going to deal with him according to what's already in his heart. And this is just this is an amazing thing about God is he, you know, I guess this is an amazing thing about the Bible. You guys can just stay there in Ezekiel. But in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So it says right there that the The Word of God, the Bible, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay? So basically what this is saying is, you know, this Bible is a living book. Okay? You guys, you know, you go to any other book and you read the book. Okay? With the Bible, before you even get into this book, before you even start reading it, there's something that happens. The Bible actually reads you. Okay? This is an amazing thing. The Bible reads you. The Bible reads your attitude of heart towards the Bible, towards God. And God, he's going to give you the answers according to what's already in your heart. Okay? If there's idols in your heart, if there's stumbling block in your heart, he's going to answer you according to those idols. Okay? So that's why we always, always, always have to guard our approach to the Bible, our beliefs about the Bible. You know, we always have to come with this attitude of, you know, Lord, I don't care what I believe right now. I just want the truth. I just want to know what you say in your Bible. I just want to just know what your truth is. I don't care what I have to change. I don't have anything I have to hold on to. I have to believe. I just want the truth. That should be our mindset, because if we come to the Bible with any other mindset, saying, you know, with some idea in our head about God, God's going to give us, he's going to answer us according to that idol, according to that thing that is that is in our heart. Okay? Yeah, so that's the second verse, the second rule we went over is, you know, you should always be prepared to change what you've been taught or what you believe with what the Bible now says. You know, always make yourself, your own beliefs, line up to the Bible, okay? Not the other way around. And, okay, so I think that's about all I got tonight. So yeah, those were the two rules. The Bible is of no private interpretation. There's one interpretation that's done by comparing Scripture with Scripture. The interpreter is the Holy Spirit of God. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And with that is, you know, if you try to privately interpret the Bible, you try to have your own ideas about it, then you're gonna complicate the Bible, you're gonna contradict the Bible, and you're gonna end up correcting the Bible. And so that's the second thing, is always be prepared to change what you believe. So any questions of what I went over or over the homework, the little reading assignment that we've given? Okay. Otherwise, I'll just close out in a word of prayer, and we will get on with our night. Lord, I just, again, thank you for everyone here, bringing, you know, allowing everyone here to take some time out of their busy schedules, their busy Friday nights, and be able to come and learn something from the Bible. And I just pray that, you know, and everyone here, just something that I said, something that you showed them through this Bible, could stick with them, and just something that they can remember as they, you know, go throughout their week or get in their Bible on their own or whatever it is. I just pray that somehow this will touch everyone here, because you've brought them here, Lord. I just, again, thank you for everyone here, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to them. And Lord, I just love you and thank you. I just pray for the rest of our night. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.